Hello, my fellow Spirit listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Night Shyamalan.
Hey, wasn't the director of The Sixth Sense, what is it, J. Night Shyamalan?
It's M. Night Shyamalan, and I get confused with him a lot.
Your only brother, DJ Night Shyamalan. I like it. Do you see dead people?
I see gay people.
That would have been a whole different movie.
So anyway, tonight we have a very, very special show for you tonight. We're having a little, few technical difficulties in the studio, but we're no stranger to technical challenges. Tonight I have Dwayne, Jeff, and Chris. And Dwayne, Jeff, and Chris are Pittsburgh's foremost representatives for not only the Carnegie Mellon intellectual community, but the gay community as well. And tonight, as many of you know, June is Pride Month, not only for Pittsburgh, but all over the world. And tonight we're going to be talking about Pride, specifically, I don't know what the term is, queer pride, I guess. Is queer the usual inclusive term that people use?
I think pansy is the word you're looking for.
Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and polyamorous. I don't know, the polyamorous always get...
No, they don't count.
The polyamorous are always marginalized.
I think that's fake.
Yeah, that's...
queer is being used more and more to just sort of cover everyone who is sexually, you know, who's not having sex with the, you know, in the missionary position with a... You know, and it's an opposite sex couple.
That's pretty inclusive. I mean, that would include, say, lobsters and chimpanzees, right?
And Frank Gifford.
Yes, and Frank Gifford.
Right, yeah.
But if you were married to that, you'd be...
Frank Gifford? I couldn't imagine it.
Yeah, the queer theory of Frank Gifford, I don't know.
Yes. And
you can imagine being married to Kathy Lee, or you couldn't imagine having to have sex with Frank Gifford. I mean, they're two...
Good Lord.
They're both repulsive thoughts.
Kids cut my wrists in there.
I think I'd rather have sex with her children.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that on the air.
there's a whole marginalized queer community there too.
Just to make sure the NSA knows exactly what they're listening to. I suppose we should have everybody introduce themselves, right?
Oh, see, this is what happened with Lance, and this is why I had to slap him down like yesterday's tamales. My show, I control it. You just do what I say and look pretty.
Oh, you're dancing monkey, right?
Yeah. Wow. Look good for radio.
Okay.
Are we even on the air, producer? Are we, like, transmitting our signal?
If a caller wanted to tell us if we were transmitting or not, they could please call in to sex21WRCT. Or for those of you on campus, it is 268WRCT. Or 8WRCT.
And if you don't have little letters on your phone, it's 89728 or... 621-9728. Or you can go to our website at sextalk.wrct.org.
Will the streaming MP3 audio be up?
Yes, the MP3 audio is up. If you go to our mothership website, which is www.wrct.org, and you have an MP3 player on your computer, you can listen to us live, although...
Of course, you don't need to if you can hear this, because clearly you're listening to us already.
The radio is a lot cheaper.
But tell your friends.
Going out and buying a penny.
So I think you actually, in all seriousness, you brought up an excellent point. While I am no fan of having non-consensual sex with youngsters, I recently read that the NAMBLA.org website was shut down.
Good. Really?
Did you hear about this? Their host, their ISP was threatened with legal action by somebody, and they finally caved in. I mean, they've been under attack for a long time, but it finally worked this time. I'm not sure exactly what.
Did you ever go to the NAMBLA website?
Yes, I have visited it, in fact.
Because it's very interesting to see the their rhetoric in terms of. I mean, it's fascinating. I thought they were very careful in trying to portray themselves as trying to help 19-year-old boys who are in love with 17-year-old boys, you know, protect them legally from statutory rape charges and stuff like that. It really played down the whole, I want to do 8-year-old Cub Scouts, you know, thing.
Isn't that what they're about, though?
Well, it depends who you ask, and it depends how much whoever you're talking to is you know, trying to play it safe.
I mean, the NIMBLE organization at core, I think, does have, in some sense, a valuable statement to say, right, that these issues of the age of consent is kind of an artificial reification.
And the age of consent is pretty ridiculous right now in America.
I talked to a friend of mine who is a prosecutor who handles juvenile cases, and I asked him, and I didn't ask, this is not in a gay sex context, but I asked, what if you got...
we'll stop you right there.
Stop right there. Well, unless it's hot man-to-man action.
No, I shall not be stopped for... This is germane. Resistance is futile.
And you put the man in germane. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you put the germ in the main.
All
right. I asked, you know, what if you've got, you know, an 18-year-old who has sex with a 17-year-old and the age of consent is 18, you know, are there any penalties involved? He said, basically, no. You know, that the police departments really do treat people who are very close in age, whether they're not or not, they're on the illegal boundary differently.
Well, that's a practicality, right there, or that's an issue of implementation rather than theory, if you want to get nerdy about it, right? So that's more like you have to depend upon the goodwill of the police department in that case. There's I wish I had more details. I didn't come prepared, unfortunately. But there was a case in Michigan 1 or 2 years ago, just shortly after the Megan's Law came into effect. This 18-year-old boy got his 16-year-old girlfriend pregnant, wanted to get married. The girl's mother freaked, turned him into the police, and bang, he's a sex offender on the Megan's Law list for life now. And he's also in prison. In federal prison, right? And so clearly, in this case, you know, he was not able to depend on the...
Right.
But he probably is experiencing a lot of gay sex right now.
That's true. This thing is all back to hot M2M action.
Exactly. See how it all works?
Again, you know, this is so fascinating because, well, I have two reactions here. I mean, you know, I think...
On the excitement from the idea of prison sex.
Well, right. And I wouldn't call prison sex gay sex in the sense...
That's true.
No more than, you know...
Desperation poking.
Well, you know, it's...
How is that different from your sex?
Making the best of a bad situation, which is exactly what my sex life is.
You know what? You know what? Instead of stamping license plates, they should have prisoners herding sheep.
There you go.
That would solve so many problems
Interesting.
You have a bunch of bow-legged, tender sheep. You know, it would end the cruel and unusual punishment, you know, caused by
license plate stamping.
Well, you know, the field here is so rich and deep. I mean, you know, you could. I think it's become evident to almost everyone that prison rape is sort of an institutional part of, you know, our prison system. I mean, the officials know about it. I won't say they encourage it, but they turn a blind eye to it because they know it's an effective way to subdue prisoners. So we could have a whole show about that. And, you know, if you like.
No, I don't think we're
Maybe you could
qualified.
Go undercover, spend some time in the federal pokey,
but
as it were.
But I just wanted to address a previous point, which is, you know, everybody in America agrees that if, like, you know, Joe Wholesome 18-year-old is having sex with his equally wholesome 17-year-old girlfriend, you know, we all think that's sort of okay. But, you know, I would actually like to be a little bit more aggressive and say, you know, if a 14-year-old boy is having, you know, consensual, nurturing sex with a 35-year-old man, that's not necessarily bad, although it's more likely to be bad. I mean, it all depends on the individual circumstance.
So a lot of states,
I think it is bad. It's just not as bad if it's an 8-year-old and a
30-year-old. What about a 14-year-old boy having sex with a 35-year-old?
Have you taken down the Jonathan Taylor Thomas poster from over your bed yet?
Well, I mean, having once been a heterosexual 14-year-old boy, right, I would have killed my best friend to have sex with a 35-year-old woman when I was 14. I would have loved it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in some sense, an imaginary existence proof, not all intergenerational relationships are exploitative or bad.
Well, I mean, technically, Jeff and I are in an intergenerational relationship.
That's right.
I mean, he's old enough to be my father.
No, you're not.
What's the age difference between the two of you?
12. No. It's 12 years and 11 months. So
wow.
Technically...
True. I am old enough to be
your
father.
Yes, technically, you could have conceived me.
I mean, if we take the example of Luther II, or what was that guy's name that you looked up for us? Those two twins that are...
Oh, Luther and Johnny had two. Yes.
What's up with them?
They were the leaders of the God's army in Indonesia, the 12-year-old twins. They will get read this charismatic Christian rebel army.
They're still leading it, I think. They're still out.
I thought they had been captured and sent to school. I don't know.
sent to do algebra and
God.
But no, they may still be out there.
Sent to
another. But why did you bring up Luther and Johnny too?
Well, actually, it's funny too much. I was actually, remember last week we were mentioning in the air that we wanted to get some people to sponsor our show.
Right.
And while we can't directly do advertising or take money for advertising, you can sponsor our show. You can provide us food and supplies and, you know, sex toys or whatever. And we can mention that, you know, we exist due to your gracious sponsorship. Mm-hmm. And so we got a check from God's Army.
Excellent.
We've got a box of ammo and $500 from Luther and Johnny.
Two.
And so thanks you two.
Thanks, GA.
the salted head of the enemy commander, that, you know, makes a good doorstop, but it seems to upset people.
You always use it as a pencil holder on your desk.
Right.
I mean, I was sort of hoping for some more mainstream corporate sponsorship, but, you know, you get what you, as in prison, you take what you can get.
As I was trying to hint subliminally earlier, a sponsorship from, is it Selexa?
Mm-hmm.
Would be much appreciated. That's the antidepressant which causes what, spontaneous orgasms?
According to our Western correspondent, Desi Dono, at www.desidono.com.
Okay.
Spell that.
Desidono. He's a webcam dude.
Mm-hmm. He was on last week, wasn't he?
No, that's John Cam.
Oh, John Kim. Okay, because I was listening to that show.
The gay webcam man.
Yes.
You were not listening to the show.
I was listening to the show.
Spontaneously.
The Mr. He was Mr. Something.
Could you be a little more vague?
Mr. Pittsburgh, 1996.
Yes, that's right.
Ha. How much of a fan am I of this show?
The biggest in the room.
Definitely. You're not kidding.
Yeah.
Anyway.
More ways than one.
He's fat these days.
Fat?
Yeah. Jeff says I have a weight problem. We went to Texas 2 weeks ago, and I put on...
Oh, really?
I put on some extra pounds.
What in Texas made you put on weight?
The barbecue.
I introduced him to my family and friends and neighborhoods.
And meat.
And lots and lots of...
Just tons of meat in Texas.
Except the Mexican food.
So I'm a big fat whore now. I'm trying desperately to lose it. Because otherwise he'll leave me.
Don't lose the whore.
No, I want him. I want him to be fat and gross so that no one will ever look at him, and he'll be mine forever.
You're right.
It's bumper. Yeah. It's the trap. I'm the bride who starts gorging herself on the wedding cake at the wedding. That's basically it. Anyway, we're way off the topic.
So Selexa.
Selexa.
Just to sum this up, so we can get on.
Desi Dono.
Well, also I'm disgusted by your thin centric commentary.
It's not important. I want to hear about the spontaneous orgasm.
But they're not spontaneous orgasms. That was actually the problem. They are, if I remember his description properly. We don't even have a producer. Is anybody like actually minding the store back there?
Sex going on inside the booth there. Anyway,
so my understanding is that it took him a long. We're not supposed to mention our producer on the air. That's one of the station rules.
We broke the fourth wall. Now he's shaking his head in disgust.
And where's the other guy? He must still be on the floor.
He's on his knees. Moving on.
My interesting thing is that it took him a long time to have an orgasm, whether via masturbating or sex. But when he did, it was mind-blowing and, you know, worth the wait. It was just ultra-fabulous.
There's a lot of things that'll do that, like alcohol.
Really? I don't find the orgasms to be particularly mind-blowing with alcohol.
Is it before or after you've thrown up on your...
Actually,
blessed relief type of...
Certain narcotics will do the same thing, too, depending. I mean, there's definitely... You don't need this prescription drug thing. I mean, I would just say go for the illegal stuff, you know, right away.
Technique,
right? Not that we're endorsing narcotics.
Who knows what's best for us?
Right.
It certainly does.
Speaking of which,
what?
Pride.
Oh, speaking of technique or government.
isn't that why we're here?
Yes.
Talk about how proud we are. Are you proud, DJ?
What is your...
DJ Night Shyamalan.
Night Shyamalan. That's so hard to say. But it makes me moist and receptive at the same time.
So in all seriousness, I have to say that I am indeed very proud. I'm very proud to have this show because I believe that this show is one of the few alternative, the few media outlets in Pittsburgh that presents an alternative lifestyle in a wholesome and supportive way.
Doesn't get much more positive, show,
positive way.
Well, there's This Way Out.
That's a syndicated program.
That is a syndicated program, and it's pretty wholesome.
Supportive. I don't know how wholesome.
I don't know.
You can really smell the herbal tea over the air.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And the patchouli.
What's This Way Out?
Is it a PRI or
what was that?
Is it a PRI thing or an NPR?
It's
thing?
On 91.3.
It's like a half-hour
WYEP.
WYEP.
Yeah, it's just gay news every Tuesday. Actually, it was on tonight.
Has their host ever been flogged in the air, though?
No. No. No, it's very tame. Yeah. It's value-added flogging and
absolutely.
And other multimedia. Respect,
right? We should have mic'd your butt.
Just to hear the gurgling.
Well, just to hear the slapping, right? The actual slugging.
I thought we did have a mic next to my butt.
Not according to Lance.
Oh, okay.
You've been flogged. So you had the nipple clamps on the one time.
That's a vicious rumor.
Yeah, no, I was here for that. You were trying them out.
But those are the little Hello Kitty.
This was back in the BDSM days. Corey, DJ
Night
Shyamalan's deep, dark BDSM streak that went on with this show. It was pretty rough.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put myself in the mind of a caller. What could a person possibly comment on?
There's only one way to find out, if a caller calls.
The numbers are, my little slave.
621-WRCT. Or if you're on campus, 268-WRCT, and I don't remember the actual numbers.
621-9728. Area code 412.
Always got to fall back on the master.
Perhaps,
thank you, DJ.
Perhaps the caller could ask why they're proud to be listening to such a...
Or to be queer.
Or to be listening to such an enriching, enlightening oral programming such as this.
So tell us what's going on this weekend, since this is the Pittsburgh Pride weekend.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Well, on Saturday, the Pride Parade starts at noon in Shadyside at Westminster and Aiken. And people are supposed to start lining up at 11, but nobody ever does. And
they're still getting out of the clubs.
People usually show up at the last minute, and that's good enough.
So what kind of shenanigans can we look forward to in this parade?
Can I just interrupt both of you for a second? I mean, I know there's a special magic. Just to give our listeners some context, what we're talking about is not just our own pride of being Pittsburgh citizens, but the Pittsburgh Pride Parade, which is a celebration of
gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender pride.
Okay. So this happens every year, and in fact, not only happens in Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh is just a microcosm, as usual, of what's happening in the world at large. There are pride parades in June all over the country, all over the world, and they're fabulous. Okay.
And they get bigger every year.
And the friends and family of people who are alternatively gendered and of all the people that you just got through describing.
Right.
An important component.
Everyone is welcome to come out and cheer for the parade.
Are the Irish allowed to march in your parade?
Even the Irish.
Especially.
They get special invitations.
They have this cute little button noses.
Yes.
Okay.
So the parade winds itself through Shadyside and ends up at Mellon Park.
Where's that, downtown?
Fifth and Shady.
It's
sort of near that art freak place.
Oh, okay, right.
Actually, isn't it more? It's more like Fifth and Beechwood. It's between Shady and Beechwood on Fifth Avenue.
That's right.
Pittsburgh Center for the Arts is there as well.
That's right.
They've got
a great big house, kind of on a hill, with a face kind of oozing out of the lawn, and other sculptures.
So, how many people were in this parade last year? Roughly, are we talking 1,000? 10,000?
They counted 2,000.
Really? 2,000?
If you can believe it.
That's pretty good for Pittsburgh.
And a bunch of people standing along the sidewalk, waving.
There's a lot of spectators. It's definitely a lot of people come out, literally, to watch it.
And so I have seen the Gay Pride Parade out in San Francisco, which is...
Little tiny thing.
Right? So can we expect Dykes on Bikes? Can we expect strippers? Can we expect transvestites, dancers,
Transvestites, definitely, riding in their cars with their professional entourages.
Being fabulous.
Sorry, let me interrupt you. Please proceed. But if not...
But what?
I was, you know, most people are sort of upset by the corporate taint that it gets involved in a lot of other celebrations. I was sort of hoping we'd get a little corporate taint here in our Pittsburgh Pride Parade. Do you think that'll happen? Like, will Mellon Bank have a giant, you know...
Come deposit your cargo notes with us.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
I don't think it's ever happened.
90% of the people in the parade are just folks. Yeah.
Well, you know, I know what DJ I See Gay People is saying over here that like in San Francisco people were upset that, you know, the drink concession had been sold to, you know, so like Snapple, I'm just making up a corporate sponsor here, right? And that there were big banners for, you know, Transamerica, blah, 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 all on the parade route. That is almost becoming, you know, just another big corporate event. Although, in some sense, that almost sounds like bitter grapes by people who were there first. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, there's no way it could have been successful and not bug these people.
Well, there is sort of a double standard with that. We're fighting for all this acceptance, and we're fighting for people just to recognize us, and then suddenly... Part of the corporate sponsorship is saying, hey, yeah, we're here to make money off of this very easily exploitable resource, but we are paying attention to you. You are important to us. We are realizing that you are a potential group of buyers and, you know, as well as consumers and real people in out there, and we are catering to you. Isn't that, to some degree, what a lot of these marches started out to be anyway? And I think it's kind of funny when people are like, well, damn it, you know. What we've been fighting for is actually starting to show up, and that makes me upset.
The band,
it means
angry when the band hits number one.
Right, and somehow the band has sold out just because what? Because they actually got successful? No, you know,
it makes us a little bit less special.
Yes,
you know, if we're mainstream.
So this brings up an interesting point. If I can skillfully guide the conversation, in this day and age, you know, of massive corporate sponsorship of the Gay Pride Parade in San Francisco and elsewhere, of same-sex partner benefits being offered at Carnegie Mellon, among other places, at Apple, at, you know, at Disney. Are Pride marches really necessary anymore? Is this, in some sense, an enjoyable, but nonetheless kind of a relic of earlier days when you had to be out and proud and in your face?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think they're very important, because I think many people would still like to see gay people back in the closet. And we need to constantly remind those people that we're not going back in the closet. And that's one thing that Pride marches do. They keep reminding the world that would rather not think about us that we are going to stay visible.
Mm.
And they have to get used to treating us fairly.
Yeah. I feel that, yes... acceptance really is one, you know, a friend at a time, a family at a time, you know, knowing people here and there. But a parade is important too, you know, like you say, just to have visibility. Also, it's good for the community itself. It's really good to be, for one day, to be in the majority, going, you know, down the middle of a major road.
Yeah, I would say my first experience even holding a lover's hand in public outside was in the Pittsburgh Gay Pride Parade, which was incredibly liberating at the time. You know, just never felt that, and there had never really been a time where I felt like it would have been safe or appropriate. And there, you know, there I was, and there we were, and even after the parade, we continued to hold hands as we walked back along the parade route back to the car, and it was, you know, it just felt good. And so, I mean, I don't know, that's just a personal thing that I took away from it, and I think that other people can take similar things away from it. Suddenly, like Jeff is saying, it's your day, and it's very empowering to be with that many people. Because, you know, all gay people, I would say, continue to every once in a while have a feeling like, oh, maybe, you know, we are kind of alone, you know, or, you know, you hear one love song, Britney Spears love song after another on the radio talking about, you know, which Backstreet Boy or, you know, whatever.
All make us feel a little bit empty inside.
Yeah, well, gay, straight, whatever. It's Britney.
Besides, this is Pittsburgh. I mean, any excuse for a big outdoor event will do.
That's true. Hot damn.
This place has more big outdoor parties than any other I've known. I think it's great.
That's right. We shouldn't dismiss the fun of the party.
Yeah. True. True. And that's really what it is. You look perplexed.
Well, I was just waiting for an opportunity to say, I think there's still the point that you know, there's obviously still a lot of work to be done in terms of getting acceptance by the culture at large, and you only have to sort of listen to the comments of, you know, Dr. Laura or the homophobic politician or people who are doing, you know, various forms of the kind of anti-marriage proposals to suggest that there's a lot of people still not getting it, and so... Mm-hmm.
I would say the, you know, part of the parade is just there is a part of pride and a part of, you know, the Pride March that is kind of serving as a counter to the people who are very actively fighting gays and lesbians and transgendered and bisexual people, treating it like a disease. And, you know, people as high up in our government as Speaker of the House or Senate, Trent Lott, whatever. Scumbag.
Deeply closeted Trent.
Yeah, exactly. We all know what Trent would really like.
what he really needs.
Exactly. More of what he really needs. Whether he would like it or not, it remains for him to realize. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody's actually been to the, Family Research Council website. That's a fun one, yeah. Check that out when you get a chance. Family Research Council.
Do you have a URL for that we can...
I think it's... I don't know if it's frc.org, but the Family Research Council is basically a hate group that spews lies and mistruths about the gay and lesbian population and masquerading as, you know, similar to the Promise Keepers as this wholesome, family-oriented, we're here just to preserve the nucleus that makes the man, woman, and children, and all that, and it's hell bent on. As far as I see it, it's not very far off the Reverend Phelps "God Hates Fags" site. It's just, you know, it's perhaps more dangerous because it is it's clouded in political rhetoric, and it's not, you can't see it for what it is without really looking at it. But anyway, it's things like that that make, I think, pride marches, pride parades, as well as just as much visibility as the community can get, very important.
Visibility is the most exquisite form of revenge because people who don't care aren't bothered. People who are homophobic are bothered. So the punishment fits the, you know, the mindset perfectly.
And as gay people, I think we are, you know, we were just talking about this evening. We and our families, even our families who are very accepting of our gayness, are protective of that, from people who they think might be homophobic. They don't want us to talk, you know, about, you know, our homosexuality or our lovers to certain people because, oh, they might be homophobic and they might not understand. Well, that's partially unacceptable. You know, some of those people need to be, basically have their world cracked wide open and say, you know, I'm your gay grandson, or, you know, I'm your, you know, the gay person in your life that you know and that you've loved all up until this point. Does that change it? And maybe it does change it. Maybe that's a tragedy if you have to lose somebody important. But oftentimes we don't know that we will lose that person, and we can't just assume that. That's part of being in the closet. You know, not saying that it is appropriate to be out to everybody, but I would say as many people as possible, because those people in turn will basically gain an amount of tolerance and realize, hey, you know, this Trent Lott guy is talking about people like my grandson or like my neighbor, and I don't like what he's saying. That's a really nice guy. He doesn't have a disease. You know, he's not...
And that
he shouldn't be compared to an alcoholic.
And that is what's going to change attitudes. And you also, as a gay person, have to give people a lot of space, a lot of time to deal with their own homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think how long it took you to get over it, you know. Or unless you're...
Are you talking to... Who are you staring at?
Well, all right.
I think
your invisible friend of Jesus.
Some people are just born lucky that way, I guess. But... No, seriously.
Did you have to fight long and hard, DJ? I see dead people.
It's so much easier to remember. Night,
Shyamalan. How hard is it to say? I mean, this really reflects your own internal racism against our Indian friends.
I didn't realize he was Indian. It just shows my
incredible
Anglo normativity.
Yeah,
normativity.
What was the question?
we're talking about your self-loathing.
Right.
Yes, yes. In fact, well, so I don't want to necessarily talk about my coming out process. I don't want to dominate the show.
Oh, yes. You've been such a chatterbox so far.
But actually, it's funny you should say that, because my grandmother, my two remaining grandparents that are still alive, I don't think either of them has gotten the memo about my sexuality. And so I guess that is... I mean, I talked about it with my mother a little bit, and she was like, well, you know, they're not really going to get it, and they're feeble. They're enfeebled anyway, and so why confuse them? And so actually, when you mentioned that, I started feeling a little bit guilty. I was like, gee, maybe, you know...
Well, none of my grandparents know either, and that's actually something I'm trying to deal with right now. Two of them are on their deathbed and have actually made really anti-gay statements to me and my family before.
No. Once you got on the deathbed, your priorities would change a little bit.
No, they're on their way out, and it doesn't, you know, they're going to learn once they enter the big churning afterlife and look down and see how I behave.
Man to man.
Exactly.
I don't know why I'm stuck on that phrase.
It's that website that you were looking at right before you got on.
M2M.com.
There is a grandmother. I do have a grandmother who I have a great relationship with, who doesn't know that I've been really... I need to tell, and I still haven't figured out how I want to do that, because I know she'll, you know, she won't quite react in the most positive way. She won't be like my parents.
Yeah, although I do have some evidence, well, at least in my family. So this same grandmother that I'm worried about, my cousin actually married a person from a different race. And you know, everyone's cool about that except for sort of we were worried about the grandparents. But they have been actually remarkably sort of tolerant about it. And they're like, oh, you know, I like him.
Have they had kids yet?
I don't think so.
See, once the little half-breeds show up, you know, then there's going to be a real problem.
Really, I think that would melt the heart of any racist grandma. Yeah. little grandchildren.
Exactly.
That's the mind control microwaves that babies put out.
Absolutely. You know.
That's the win.
I think it's important to respect older people and to give them a chance, you know, to say, oh, don't tell grandma this because she's so old, she couldn't handle it. I mean, you know. That's disrespectful.
Yeah. Grandma's lived through two world wars. I think she can handle it. You know, when grandma's lost, you know, two of her own kids and countless numbers of her friends. And
grandma's
stuff like
sitting
that.
Here safe and sound on good old in the U.S. of A.
That's true.
She wasn't in the trenches fighting
the Kaiser.
Yeah,
but she went through some stuff. And the point is, if you want to treat someone as a human being, one of the things is telling them things they don't want to hear. or maybe you might be surprised.
Dad, you're ugly.
Well, and I resent you for that.
Seriously, I came out to my 85-year-old grandmother, and she chuckled and said, "What was it all the dirt that you had back in the 60s going to that free school?
Dirt?
You know, I'm serious. I went to a hippie school in the...
And they made you eat dirt?
No.
I mean, instead of drugs?
That was in between the pot smoking sessions.
Oh, okay.
No, we were outside in the country, and we didn't wash our hands all the time.
That makes you gay. Like that.
Yeah, it makes you gay.
Pot gay.
Exactly. And I said, no,
spread it to
doesn't
me.
Work that way. And, you know, it just, she thought it, she didn't understand it. She thought it was kind of funny. But, you know, she was a flapper back in the 20s.
Oh, man.
She used to, you know, go out to the speakeasies and slam illegal booze. So
God
know,
knows what else.
Granny was got around a bit. You know,
yeah, let me digress here for a moment. It's apropos of absolutely nothing, except for I saw this picture of my grandmother, actually on Coney Island, I think with her boyfriend, then to be my grandfather, back in the day, right, like 20-something. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was a hottie. It was really a bizarre experience. And I was like, wow, if my grandma was alive and 20 years old today, I would have really... troubling ancestral issues. He was really, really good looking. Just had to say that.
I think we should all share our own personal vignettes, because I had the same experience when rifling through. I was at Grandma's place rifling through the old photo album, and I found this little hottie in a Navy uniform. And oh my God, it was my father. And who's a wreck now, but in his day, he was a babe. I mean, my father was serious.
So we know where you get it.
Babe-alicious. Well, or nowhere where I don't get it, more painfully. I mean...
Maybe if you put on a sailor suit.
Interesting.
I saw a picture of Charles Chaplin, the Charlie Chaplin, a serious photo without his little mustache up close. My God, he was handsome.
Hmm.
He was heart-thumping hot.
Charles
Chaplin. I kid you not.
I'm just afraid that the sphere of possible people who are attractive has now gotten much larger. I mean, his relatives, it kind of made sense.
No, it hasn't.
But, I mean, Hollywood celebrities...
It's Adam Filmstone.
Well,
he's an obscure one that you don't usually think of as an attractive.
That's what
Tom Cruise, I find pretty attractive.
That's surprising.
That may surprise some people.
No. Only he were silent.
Leo DiCaprio, most of the Backstreet Boys.
Not surprising.
We're back to Britney.
Oh. I won't get into Brittany. Anyway.
I wonder.
Well, she's
still a virgin, you know.
We're obligated by terms of our contract to actually mention Wexford hottie Christina Aguilera every show.
Right.
On
Wexford's
so.
Own.
Go ahead.
Tasty?
I wanted to...
one would imagine.
I wanted to plug a protest that will be going on. It's part of the getting the Pitt trustees to show an ounce of sense.
Oh, so you're not protesting Bubblegum Pop and Britney Spears?
No, I could roll my body in bubblegum pop and stick myself to Britney Spears.
I may need to take a break and use the bathroom and masturbate furiously to that image.
We're going to have to add that to the quote. We're keeping little sound bites from the show, and we're going to release a best of CD.
I think that one makes it.
If I ever run for office, please run that quote.
Back in the year 2000.
Pilot man.
But seriously, yes, I have my third lobe of my brain is right here in my hand. June 27th, which is a Wednesday. Down at the USX Tower downtown, 600 Grant Street, a bunch of, queers and friends of...
Angry queers,
women, lots of people are going to be urging Thomas Usher to speak out in favor of gay domestic partner benefits for Pitt. Now, he's very unlikely to do that because... He's one of the trustees who's been voting against this. He even quit a fundraising committee in protest when the limited benefits, that little bone that Connolly threw everybody, you can have library privileges and stuff like that. All been out of shape about that.
What happens when those gay people start reading?
Yeah.
And get access to the library. Soon you're giving them health benefits.
They get gay all over the books. So that's June 27th at noon, and it ought to be a lot of fun. And I really think that I, as a Pitt student, a Pitt graduate student, think that CMU, by voting for domestic partner benefits, has shown us up, and we've really got to, got to catch up to them and prove that we're a civilized place.
So I'm obligated to rewind the what's that machine that Mr. Peabody and
the Wayback Machine?
No, the Wayback Machine.
The Wayback Machine to 15 minutes ago. Or are you going to go back and assassinate Hitler?
That would be
Dr. Sixopoulos is my the third lobe of my brain as well as the third lobe of my of mice. But I was going to say, it's for those people in our audience who do not know, Carnegie Mellon has passed, the Board of Trustees recently passed a relatively historic decision, which is granting domestic partner benefits to all eligible gay, straight, polyamorous
faculty and staff.
Domestic
partners.
Maybe you should take over this point, Dwayne, because you won't mess it up as much as I'm about to. So,
well, I was waiting to hear your take on it.
Okay. Well, see how wrong
my take on it is that domestic partner benefits for people who qualify, and it's not yet clear what those qualifications are going to be. The qualifications, as it turns out, might be a little bit onerous, but in an attempt to give some benefits that married couples already get, those same benefits for unmarried couples. And if I'm also
basically health care benefits.
Mm-hmm. So it's boiled down to just health insurance.
Pretty much. And
hi, Birdie cards?
We already get that.
Okay, all right. And I know you can already bring people swimming.
Gym privileges? So. Okay.
We already get that.
Actually, for anybody
can
bring a friend, right?
Anything that you get with an ID card.
So this is something that's always... I've always wondered about. So I used to live down in Texas, and at the time, Apple was going to bring a plant near Austin.
Yeah, to Williamson County.
Right, and the poobahs of Williamson County, right, were all had their knickers in a twist because, lo and behold, Apple lets those fags have benefits, right? And I think Apple eventually decided not to bring the plant down there. Is that the summary?
They were offering Apple some free land to come to bring jobs, and then they found out about the domestic partner policy and yanked the land, and so Apple went elsewhere.
Right, so... Not to cut you off, but this is incidental to my actual question, which is, how do they tell, right? Let's say Lance and I were to move in with each other, right? And we don't have sex with each other, we're just friends, but how could they prevent us from claiming, oh, same-sex partner benefits? Do we have to, like, give each other oral sex in front of the trustees or something to prove that we deserve it, or what?
I'm going to be a trustee.
Well, here at Carnegie Mellon, you have to sign a statement saying that you're...
couple of homes.
In a long-term relationship that doesn't have any definite termination plans, and you also have to have certain financial entanglements according to the new, or at least the tentative, the draft policy they've drawn up. You have to, like, share a checking account, own real property together, like a house or a...
Does a car count?
Co-sign. Car. Mention, put your partner in your will. It's your,
interesting. Okay.
So there are various financial obligations.
What do we have a caller? You can speak into the microphone.
Say the number, the call-in number.
Again, I think that would sound a little bit desperate. We've already mentioned it twice.
Oh, but there are 15 precious minutes left.
We can maybe get this trustee dude to call. What was his name? Bill Sherman?
Usher?
Bill Usher?
Usher.
Sherman?
You had another protest of this sort at Eaton Park.
Yes.
That's true. And was there any action taken by the person being picketed?
No, I don't expect that there will be.
But many smiley cookies were consumed.
And frowny cookies were invented. And it made the news.
It did make the news. I saw it on TV.
Yes. Well, for those callers out there who are still listening, the number is, and who wish to call in the last 15 minutes, the number is 621-9728. Or if you're on campus, 268-9728.
All this stuff about having to prove financial entanglements and sign a long-term commitment, I think it's really sad. I think that nobody should get domestic partner benefits. I think gay marriage should be allowed. And maybe even some other... queer marriage should be allowed, and that should be the litmus test for getting benefits.
Well, that's a nice, nice, like, ideological opinion to have, right? But CMU cannot very well pass a gay marriage law.
No, they can't.
Itself.
They can't.
And I think in some sense these financial entanglement rules are an excellent approximation to the hassle that is getting married.
Actually, I think they're onerous.
Really? You think less so than getting married?
No. What I think is that... CMU wants to give the benefits to people who are is virtually married, and they don't know how to define that. But requiring people to have financial entanglements when the only benefit they're getting is a taxed health care benefit from CMU seems to me unfair. Married people get a lot more benefits than that. And so when they have similar financial entanglements, there is there are the benefits to counteract the the responsibilities and obligations. We don't have that.
What benefits do heterosexual couples get that homosexual couples won't?
Hundreds, if not a thousand, like legal benefits, including tax breaks.
I meant CMU specifically.
None.
Okay.
None. But
I thought you were saying
CMU, it seems to me, it's unfair for CMU to require couples to entangle themselves legally when the only benefit they're getting is CMU healthcare benefit?
Well, I mean, I can see their point, right? What they want to avoid is, you know, the Lance and DJ Sexopolis scenario, or like just the boyfriend getting free healthcare scenario until you break up. Like, they don't want, I can see where they're coming at, right? They want, in some sense, if I may project my own psyche onto the trustees, right? In some sense, they want the same responsibilities and what's the term on the diploma? The responsibilities and obligations thereunto, right? The same thing as marriage. Basically, they want to financially approximate marriage, which is basically at this point like a financial institution,
which is ridiculous to ask an employer to have to make these kinds of judgments. The real problem is that healthcare in this country is delivered through the employers. You know, it's not fair to anyone. It's not fair to the employers. Why should the Pitt trustees or the CMU trustees or the owner of any business have to think about who's married and who isn't? My God, you know, I'm making coat hangers or whatever, you know, running a university. Why should employers have to make social policy? Healthcare should be delivered in a universal way, like it is in every civilized country in the world. You know, that's the problem. It's an untenable situation.
Well, one surprising thing that CMU hasn't done yet is to say that they will recognize a Vermont civil union license as constituting sufficient grounds for the health care benefit.
So that would be a step. That would be a big step.
So, just to bring this conversation back to our normal wacky core, DJ
Night Shyamalan.
Night Shyamalan.
I want to say like shine a lot
to remind him of something.
Well,
since we only have 10 minutes left, I thought I'd remind him. And also, I wanted to tell a pride story from San Francisco.
We've had a fairly serious discussion. And I'm not sure I should tell these stories now. I mean, they were at the one of them is sort of relevant, which is actually I was going to talk about my new strategy towards you, my new co-host. As longtime listeners of the show know, Lance, our previous co-host, single-handedly resuscitated the show from nearly flaming out. But then he got too sassy.
Is this that painful homosexual hazing that he was talking about?
With the match.
he got too sassy, and I had to destroy him. So, as anybody who's seen and learned the lesson of the movie All About Eve, you have to be careful about the up and comers. So then I brought on DJ Sexopolis here.
Doctor Sexopolis.
And I was. You'll remember last week I commented to you on your unusual, like, three sigmas above the mean beauty. but I realized...
Statistically the nicest compliment anyone's ever given me.
But I realized that was actually the wrong approach, and I learned this. Somebody gave me this advice. I don't remember who. Maybe it was Dr. Ruth. I'm not sure. But the idea is that if you're trying to seduce or just get on the good side of somebody... You shouldn't compliment them with something that they probably get all the time or that's sort of patently obvious. And so, for example, if you think a woman's beautiful, you should comment on her intelligence. Or if you think a man is... conversely, if you think a man's intelligent, you should comment on his beauty. And if they're both, then you should comment on something else, like, you know, you could
table manners.
Precisely. So...
Where?
So I decided that instead of saying that your three sigmas above the mean in attractiveness, I'm going to refer to... Well, I hadn't got that far in my thought process. As a PhD student in robotics, you're probably also, you know, a few sigmas.
No, as my publication record would attest, or the lack thereof.
So I'm going to find something unusual to comment, and I'm going to say, DJ Sexopolis, Dr. Sexopolis, I admire your poetry.
Why, thank
it's
you.
It's very thoughtful, and it meant a lot to me.
Thank you. I didn't think you were into goth poetry.
So now that I've done that, do you feel a certain...
Weeping.
And so the soap opera question that we will suffer towards through until the end of the season is, will DJ... Well, what the hell's your name?
Night Shyamalan.
Night Shyamalan ever get into DJ Sexopolis' hands?
Dr. Sexopolis.
Forget it.
I didn't go to graduate school for sex to be called DJ Sexopolis.
Wow.
And something about Muppets.
Oh, yes. And also in relation to the show, this is another quote I heard, which I thought was very good. I want people to start thinking that this is a good metaphor for the show. This show is like the Muppets' greatest hits CD, which is...
filled with puppets.
The reason is...
why is that, DJ Night Shyamalan?
Some people really like it, and some just don't get it.
That's brilliant. Trenchant.
You could also say that it's like flan in that way, too.
Flan is that like gross, sweet, eggy dessert from Italy?
Raspberry sauce.
It's a Mexican.
I don't really get flan, but
whatever. I'm sure they make it in Mexico, too. Ever had menudo?
Yeah.
Just about.
Menudo?
It's what? It's tripe, right?
That gets back to that whole Nambla thing again, doesn't it?
No.
No.
It's kind of like chitlins, then?
No, it's a soup with pinto beans, a few vegetables, and sections of intestine from cow or pig. The menudo I had was pretty blah. I didn't like it.
It's also a Mexican boy.
The menudo you had was before the Ricky Martin days, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That would be much spicier.
That's true.
Eating La Vida Loca.
Yes. Yes.
So let me tell my quick little San Francisco Gay Pride March story. So I was living in San Francisco a couple years ago.
With your gay lover.
Yeah, it's my gay lover, Stephanie. And we were watching the parade. And
pointing.
What?
Pointing and laughing.
Pointing and laughing, exactly. Throwing eggs. And we were actually having a really good time, like the dykes on bikes. We were even impressed by them. And like the Bigfoot of transvestite drag queens and their entourage and so forth.
Were you avoiding drinking the beers that were advertised during the parade?
Just to stick it to the gay community, absolutely. No, actually, I think we were drinking quite a bit.
This will show you Coors Light.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Coors. Yes.
Coors Light makes you gay.
Well, Adolf Coors was like a big Nazism, right? So I don't imagine.
Coors still donates lots of money to organizations like the Family Research Council, which I mentioned before.
It's just an ironic thing, right?
The
Coors thing is like, I mean, there's a long tradition of this animosity toward the gay community, but recently they've been advertising in gay magazines.
Don't buy it.
And they're not.
Do not buy it.
I mean, so.
Literally.
So we're not buying. I mean, so what I'm saying is that it's.
They're happy to make money off us regardless.
And didn't the gay community drop the boycott? I believe they did.
Oh, man. That's disturbing because Coors is an evil, evil, evil organization. I want to hear the story, too.
We're drinking a Coors watching the parade. And we got to see, like, the bear lovers float go by, like lots of burly, hairy, naked men. But the single best part of the parade, and something I'll carry with me to my grave, were, and I may digress for a moment, do you people know what Morris dancing is?
No.
It's this medieval dance where basically wear these kind of wooden clogs, you have a big wooden staff, and you have bells sewn onto the cuffs of your pants and around your wrists. And the deal is by, you know, moving your wrists and ankles rhythmically and banging the stick, you kind of create this rhythmic content along with the dance. It's a very huzzah Renaissance fest type thing, okay?
Cool.
But these were the gay and lesbian S&M Morris dancers, and they had the bells sewn into their skin.
Ugh.
Wow.
And I was so struck by this, not only just the pure oddity value of it, but also like San Francisco, what an amazing city. Not only are there gay and lesbians marching, not only are there gay and lesbian Morris dancers, but there are in fact 10, I think that was how many there were, gay and lesbian S&M Morris dancers, which is just astonishing that you
get
subdivide the community so smallly and yet.
And there they are.
People that have a baseball team.
So
that is so cool.
You've painted yourself into the following statistical trap, which is I'd like to ask you, using your superior knowledge of analysis, how much larger would the world population have to grow before you could add another level of refinement to what you saw? Like until we see the gay and lesbian, S&M, Morris dancers, who are into flan. Right? Are we talking about a 10-time blow-up in the U.S. population?
I mean, I don't know. I think the if you were to chart this out in Venn diagrams, I think the flan lovers would overlap significantly with the gay, lesbian, transgender community because, you know, flan, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
But if I don't gay, like the albino dwarf gay, lesbian, S&M, Morris dancers, then I think, I think we'd probably have to colonize other planets. I think we'd be... in the realm of hundreds of billions, perhaps. I don't know. I could work out the math more fully. with MATLAB. Speaking of a sponsorship we'd like.
But genetic engineering could solve that problem.
Yes,
that, that is true. We could breed.
Shakes of DNA and we could have a whole army of
albino, dwarf,
lesbian, S&M, Morris dancers.
I think that is a worthy goal of science.
Definitely. Culture
so
as a whole.
Remaining 2 minutes of time, do you think we can get the attention of our producer if he's still in the building?
That we're not supposed to talk to?
I guess not. So I guess the show's just going on until...
What do you want from the producer?
Well, I want to let him know that there's only 2 minutes left in the show. Although I guess there's no hurry.
No, not really.
Well, so is there a show on next, producer? Yes, there's a show on next. So we do actually truly only have 2 minutes or so. This clock is actually not right. So okay. If our producer could signal...
I actually have 11:57.
Okay.
And so this is based on the Greenwich Mean Time.
Well, so I had a third story to tell, but it really is completely off topic. I'm not sure it's appropriate.
Let's hear it.
Oh, okay. It's a whole grab bag of nonsense at the end here.
Well, so this is actually a real personal problem I have, is that like...
The evidence thing?
Well...
The baldness? The cheese-like smell?
The flaky textured skin? The third testicle?
The monkey tail?
I didn't mean to start there.
The annoying
But you did.
Now he's crying.
So there I was. I was doing my daily workout today on the track here at Carnegie Mellon University, mm-hmm. and there was this hottie running around the track, and he was wearing next to nothing. He was wearing one of those like little flimsy, like why do runners wear these things? They're like made out of like the flimsiest possible material.
Yeah,
and
it was completely. It was almost impossible not to imagine him naked because he basically was naked. And I was talking on my phone, looking all corporate.
While you were running?
While running?
No, somehow this was after I was running. I was like walking back to the track for some reason.
Hiding behind the bushes, masturbating.
I was checking him out, and then he walked by me, and he looked at me.
What kind of look are we talking about?
Well, I don't know. It was just sort of like, I think it was a... Well, so that's the key. That's the key that you have to answer. Because, like, normally when I'm checking out hot men, they're oblivious to my attentions. But he looked at me, and then I got all nervous, and then I looked away. And then I thought, you know, if I have this policy of, like, you know... I mean, the men that ignore me, I have no chance with at all. But the men who, like, actually notice that I'm noticing them, if I, like, get all nervous and don't follow up on that... What am I left with? I'm left with nothing. Mm. So, bottom line here is like, let's, you know, how do I? What should be the proper algorithm for? Say, I meet Jonathan Taylor Thomas or this track that coming up.
Any one of the Backstreet Boys are in sync.
Oh boy, I mean, how much time do we have left?
We have 0 time left. No. Well, I have 40 seconds.
Plenty long enough to answer this question.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how the eye contact was maintained and broken, right? If mm-hmm. he basically looked off into the distance as if he had seen some interesting insect and then his attention had passed on, then that's a bad sign. But if if he glanced away from you with a smile on his face,
If there was pouty lip and tongue action, maybe that's...
Well, see, my problem is that I have so much self-loathing that as soon as I like think that someone's looking back at me, I think, oh, the reason they're looking back at me is because they hate me and they want to kill me. And so that's reflected.
Put on that hetero casual face that we learn from black people and just nod.
Hetero casual.
Yeah, just kind of
set a new line of clothing from the Republic.
That comment is disturbing on something else. I think that I'll just have to wait until next week because we have to go. I want to remind our listeners this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening. Tune in next week and keep the knob turned to this station. And good night.
Be proud.